On today's episode of The Breakaway, presented by U.S. Bank, we talked to Rob McAllister, play-by-play man for Sacramento Republic. He was on the broadcast on Saturday and called three fantastic goals from the Republic. So we talk about that big win and how Sacramento's road to the playoffs, it kind of goes through them. They got to figure it out in big matches, and it all starts today, Wednesday, against Oakland Roots. So got to keep knocking off teams that they're in competition with for that four spot in the playoffs. So we talk about all that, who's been the most consistent player, and some roster stuff. We get into a lot on today's episode of The Breakaway. But first, this financial timeout is brought to you by U.S. Bank. Today we're talking about financial scams. Ugh, all over the place these days. From charity scams to telemarketing scams to healthcare scams, they come in all kinds of terrible packages and often targets older adults. That's because some older adults can be more vulnerable, and scammers have learned to use that to their advantage. But they're not only the victims. Even the most tech-savvy are sometimes targets. Students in need of money, for example, can also be targeted. Keep listening to how to protect yourself from fraudsters with tips from U.S. Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. At Elk Grove Charter School, our students chase their dreams. Students advance at their own pace. EGCS offers flexible schedules, small class sizes, and accelerated learning in a fully accredited learning environment. We help students balance their academic goals while pursuing their passions in club sports, performing arts, entrepreneurship, and much, much more. Elk Grove Charter School is now enrolling. Learn more by going to egcs.egusd.net or give us a call at 916-714-1653. We're confident our students will astound you. All right, let's do it. Welcome to The Breakaway, a Sacramento Republic podcast.
Bandit in the box! Unbelievable strike!
My goodness, what a defensive play!
Half the crowd can't even believe it!
All right, joining us on the podcast today, Rob McAllister, who called Saturday's win. Oh, and by the way, is a new father. Congrats to you, Rob, and your family on the new addition. How are you getting a lot of sleep? How's it been so far?
Yeah, you know, we've been lucky so far. I think you watched a little bit of the game on Saturday, but I think you fell asleep. So I don't know if the broadcast was boring to him or what, but
oh, no.
It was a pretty exciting game. So, you know, who knows? I think it was Adam. I think Adam put him to sleep.
Yeah, that's who.
That's voice.
Exactly. speaking of Saturday, fun match. We talked about it. We hadn't had a fun home match in a while, and that was definitely one entertaining throughout. Big goals from both teams. Even Tacoma had a great free kick. So a lot of great play, and obviously Sacramento with a big 3-1 win in a key spot, and coming off of the loss to LA Galaxy, you know, 6 days prior, it was big.
The game was fun. I mean, the last time I think something that fun was the New York Red Bulls 2 match when it was a 3-1 win. I think the team played much better this time. I mean, I think defensively they were, you know, incredible. You take that one free kick by Villanueva. I mean, that's one of the best free kicks we've seen all year.
Yeah.
So in any part of the league. So, and I don't know who's stopping that. I mean, that's your 7'7", maybe you got a wingspan, but I don't know how Carlos is going to really deflect that. So you take away that incredible play and you got a solid win, you know, best 90 minutes, I think. It was great to see Cam aggressive, you know, really early. And beyond just to come calling some of these guys, I mean, you know, Luis Felipe played very well. He was our man of the match. Even beside the goal, I thought he really controlled the midfield. I think it was the best collective performance from 11 guys for 90 minutes. And they play with conviction. I think we saw a couple weeks ago, the pace was getting better out of the gate. They were more decisive in what they were trying to do early in the game. And today it was that, or for that match on Saturday, it was that way for 90 minutes. They came out, but they played together. There was a collectiveness that we haven't seen from this team. And I think that's what's been so frustrating. We see talent on this team, and we just have not seen the quality of finishing. Well, we saw it. And I think Malik Foster should have had a goal. I mean, if you really want to nitpick things, yeah. I'm sure he's extremely disappointed. He made a little bit of a late run on the one ball, I think, from Formella that was whipped in. It could be 4-1. And, you know, so overall, I don't really think you could, you know, pick this game apart. I thought it was incredible. It was exciting to be a part of. It was fun. The crowd was into it. And I mean, there really isn't a knock. I don't know what you would say you would have done differently. You held them to, you know, very minimal attempts. And you made life difficult. I thought Hayden Sargis came back from injury, played really well. And I think gave Dan Casey a little bit of more freedom to do other things. And, you know, to be still kind of learning the game as well. So I think you had a deep bench. So you know, I can ramble on, but I just think that the lineup was great and who you brought off the bench, really, they had an impact as well. So I think for full 90, there was nothing better than we've seen this year.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. The inconsistency throughout matches this year has been obvious in certain occasions where the first half they play well, second half they don't, or vice versa. And like you said, the most consistent match of the year for Sacramento, the full 90, different than we've seen. It just felt like from start to finish, it was the best match of the year, is the best performance, the most locked in they seemed as well. And maybe that was coming off of that LA loss where they felt that they should have gotten results in that game. And maybe back against the wall a little bit too, with the playoff race, you know, coming down to what it is, which is really close. And we'll talk about that shortly. But I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I think everybody just seemed linked up differently this match. And we've kind of seen that where the buildup's there, the finishing's not there. And this match, that was not the case, right? We had the finishing, Cam with a nice little cheeky goal, Luis Felipe, obviously, with the banger, which, by the way, you had a great call on. I was going to tell you, I forgot to ask you. Moffitt was like lingering a little bit and you had to jump on top of him. I thought that was great, but it was a great call.
Good. Well, I think in Moffitt, for a guy who used to strike balls like that consistently throughout his MLS and USL career, I mean, he just knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And I love Luis's aggressiveness there. I mean, I think he deserves the way that he's been playing in the midfield and whoever he's paired up, whether it be Jaime Villarreal or Andrew Wheeler-Amadou, I think the three of them combine well together. And I think that they understand where each other are. They replace each other in the field when appropriate. And I think that because Luis has been so solid, that it allows a guy like AWO to go and press higher as needed. And then he drops all the way back as needed. So, you know, while you might think of Luis more of that box to box guy, I think it allows the other, you know, holding midfielder to be more of that, you know, cross the field up and down, really cover more ground. And Luis is sort of your enforcer now. And that's great. I think he's coming of age. I think he looks more confident. And, you know, the goal was another thing. I mean, I don't even care what he's done offensively this year. It's been great.
Right.
You know, four goals, I think three assists. But defensively, to me, he has been spectacular. And he's the reason why this unit is playing so well, is he's really the starting point. Everyone else is sort of feeding off that.
Well, team of the week this week, and as deserved, he's up for goal of the week right now, which is good as well. If you want to go vote, you can go to the USLChampionship.com to vote. But Emil Cuello too, I want to talk about him, Rob. I just think his creativity since he's come to the club midseason has been, it's just been so obvious that what he can do. And when you pair him with guys like Formella and Iwasa, Kiesewetter up top, Belmar, I just think he kind of fits perfectly for what Sacramento is trying to do. He's been the link in a lot of the missing connections, whether it's runs. And I actually thought too, this match, I talked about it last week, I felt Sacramento probably could have tried to get in behind a little bit more, whether it's over the top or through balls. And I felt like they were making that a point of emphasis this last match. And they had many of them. And it might be because they had more speed with like guys like Malik Foster in the starting lineup. But it felt like that was kind of a point of emphasis. Did you think that was the case as well?
I thought it was a good balance. I think all, you know, four of them essentially complimented each other. And I think Emil does a really good job of, you'll never see him look frustrated, get on teammates. He's sort of always moving in a positive direction. And his step is always a positive one. And I think that's a really good asset when you're trying to get other guys to do different things. Malik Foster sort of knows one speed and he's just flying up and down the wings. And that's perfect. I think Cam is at his best when other strikers are able to get the attack going. He kind of comes in as that second striker and he does a really nice job of getting in the right place when there's that guy there. When Thomas and Evoltsen came in a couple of years ago, I mean, Cam thrived. I mean, he's always sort of been that player that when given the opportunity, that second spot, he can really just make a defense pay. I thought he created his own this last time. I mean, he sent the ball and then the ball was given right back to him. He split that defense. I mean, he really made a veteran guy and Thomas Mueller look silly. I mean, that was incredible. But yeah, I think Emil has helped to that. I think Adar Formella, when he's creative, he's at his best. And when he's moving forward and not slowing down and coming back too far, I think he can really be dangerous. Well, so I thought they paired well. Then Patrick Weah off the bench and then Carlton Belmar and then Jerome Kiesewetter. I mean, you have six strikers now that you can interchange and use in different formations. So I think people are healthy now. The bench looks strong. And Emile is taking the space of Mario Pinangos. I mean, essentially, and that's the way it is. You have guys really battling for spots right now. And the best time to do it, because as Mark said, every match is a League Cup final at this point.
Yep.
They have to almost win out to get into this playoff position. And we can talk about more about that. But you have to bring guys out to be their best. And I think that's what we saw on Saturday night.
Couldn't agree more. I think one of the pieces that is going to be vital is the fact that we talked about how great Luis Felipe was Saturday, and he's been really consistently out the next two matches due to yellow cards. He's accumulated too many yellow cards on the year, which puts Sacramento in an interesting position, right? I would say he's kind of been the enforcer in the midfield and has been so big for this club. What are your thoughts on what Sacramento can do to replace him? Do they bring Jaime Villarreal back in and kind of drop Andrew Wheeler-Amenu down a little bit? What are your thoughts on what they do at the midfield?
Yeah, so 11 total cautions. You get a 2-game suspension and a fine. And then once he gets to 14, you're out for 3 matches. So he's at 12, which is brutal, because now you are really playing with fire. This is a guy who is so good at getting stuck in. That's what he does. If you take that away from him, you lose a lot of his effectiveness. So I think Mark's got a real tricky job here. Now, he won't be in against Oakland, won't be against San Diego, but you have LA coming up. You're going to play Tacoma again. And so you have these matches where you start to decide, maybe we don't have him play tonight, but also you need to win. And so it's really difficult. I don't know what you do. I think the good news is that Andrew Wheeler-Amenu has become such a good communicator. He looks healthy, and his attitude has been so great that Mark has had him in, had him out, and wherever he's been on the field over the last 2 years now, he's really stepped up and played big. And so I think you can play AWO and Jaime and not miss a whole lot. I think those two guys are more than capable. I think Jaime was for a stretch one of the best players on the field. So I think Luis, will be surely missed. So, but this is a time for those two guys to make their mark. And maybe, Coach Briggs goes a different direction. Maybe he thinks, okay, maybe I'm gonna go one holding. Maybe I go to a 4-1, 3-1 kind of, who knows? I mean, you can kind of go different things. 4-1-2-2. You never know. You can kind of play with things, and maybe you're bringing in a Pete Pendens fully healthy or a Mario Pinagos in a role, and you have a meal. And so maybe you want to try that against Oakland and just really try to slam it down their throat and press really, really high. So I don't know. We'll see. We kind of see what happens. But that to me would just be a replacement of Jaime in that role.
Well, Jaime coming off that little foot injury he was a scratch in the Sunday match against LA Galaxy, late scratch, and then came off the bench on Saturday. So hopefully he will be, at full strength to be able to go in the starting 11. If that's the case, I would imagine that's what they do. But like you said, they could get tricky here. And especially when, matches are starting to really compress. We got 3 and 8 days coming up on Oakland tomorrow night. Is it fair to say, Rob, that every match at this point is now the biggest match of the year? Is that the case pretty much throughout the rest of the season?
I think you have to look at it that way. I mean, either way, you're not even happy. The odds of getting a home match are pretty much out the window. So you're just trying to get in, right? So you're not like you're trying to jockey for position. So what you have to do is beat the teams that are in the hunt with you. So they have to beat Oakland.
Right.
They can draw with San Diego. They potentially lose to San Diego. We can talk about tiebreakers in a second. But then you've got LA. So you've got to beat LA, and then you got to beat Tacoma. So if you're able to take down the Oaklands, the LA, the Tacoma, and then you maybe beat San Diego once, I think you're in. Regardless of what happens with the Phoenix and other San Diego match, you may be able to lose 3, but I think you've got to get to 41, 42 points to ultimately find yourself in that final position. Now, unfortunately, they don't completely control their own destiny. If LA, who's playing really well, just beat Phoenix and take on Las Vegas on Friday, they keep winning, you're going to be in trouble. So to me, it's going to come down to what happens against Oakland. But after that, if Sacramento's able to figure out the win, I think it comes down to LA and Sacramento for that final spot.
So the last really 2 weekends, kind of results have gone Sacramento's way. Las Vegas was down a man, I think, on the road in Oakland and tied and came up with a late goal to pick up the draw. That's a huge result for Sacramento. Thank you, Las Vegas. And then LA Galaxy was shut out by San Diego. So both matches that were really, really important went Sacramento's way. And that happened last weekend as well. Do we want to talk about what needs to happen? I mean, you had great, I mean, you kind of just laid it out there a little bit, but Sacramento plays LA once more. They play Tacoma once more, Oakland once more, San Diego, Phoenix. I'm missing one match.
San Diego again.
Okay.
San Diego to end the season. So that last game could be crucial. Now, Phoenix, you know, they're fighting for that top spot overall, but if they have it, I also don't think it's a team with Phoenix, just with Sacramento, that the history.
Yeah. But
they're just going to put in a bunch of subs and just forget about it. I think they're going to go out to win that match. So it's not going to be an easy match. However, you typically play Phoenix well. And, you know, real killer now, as you look in the season, is some of those matches we should have won that we either draw with, like these Oakland matches.
Yep.
Should have taken care of them early. And then this Phoenix game, my last Phoenix game, I should have easily won. So that's where this kills you. Now, at the time, it didn't feel terrible, but it hurts now. And so, yeah, I mean, if you look at just, you know, the USL does a nice job kind of breaking things down. So max points available for LA and Sacramento are each 50. Okay. Tacoma can actually still get 51%, but who they play and where they play and how they've been on the road has been dismal. I just don't think it happens. But Sacramento has the better odds of actually finishing in fourth place, because some of the tiebreakers will then go down to, I believe, is it's overall points and so wins in your division.
Head to head, I'm looking at it right now. Head to head points earned in regular season, goal differential and head to head, and then total points for single division.
Yeah. So, and then you could go down the goals in the game, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we'll see what that looks like. But
so that means that LA Galaxy, you play them one more time, I think you're down what, one goal to them overall? You beat them 1-0, you drew once, and you lost 2-0, right? So I think they're down 1-0, one goal in that head to head, I think, if I remember right.
So I think you win. That's what you're right. We're winning takes care of that. You beat Oakland, you beat LA, you beat San Diego, and you beat a Tacoma, then I think you've got a really good chance. And then you kind of go from there. But I think there's so many what ifs, right?
And I know.
That's what's so hard. But when you look at it, you know, Tacoma 30 points, Oakland 31, Sacramento 32, LA 32, Orange County still at 37. So here's the crazy part: they start losing every single match or get just a couple of draws and they're not able to do much. You could have LA and Sacramento get in, or Tacoma and Sacramento or LA, whatever, one of those, you know, two of those four teams could actually leapfrog them. Unfortunately, Sacramento did not pick up a win against San Diego or Orange County this year, and that hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it gets interesting. And seeing, I mean, it all starts tomorrow night against Oakland. I think if Sacramento can get two in a row and they play consistent like they did on Saturday, and I totally believe after what we've seen in three matches against Oakland this year, Sacramento is the better team. They just got to find a way to pull one out. And then it comes into Saturday against San Diego, where Sacramento historically, I mean, you probably know this better than I do, but historically Sacramento, I mean, it's only been 2 years, but they haven't been great against San Diego, if I remember correctly. And so if you looked ahead to head, then you have LA Galaxy. What is that next home game? I think it is, right?
Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah. That Wednesday match. So it's a lot of matches in a short period of time down the stretch here, and being consistent, I think, is the key. And I think if we base off what we saw on Saturday, if Sacramento can do that, I think they have a good shot. And I wanted to ask you too, because I know we got a few more things I want to hit on, but the addition of Carlos Sendaña, who, by the way, had a couple great saves. I thought he fit in very well, communicated really well throughout the match. He was constantly yelling at his back line. What an addition he has been. I mean, just one match, but it seems like based on what we saw Saturday, he's going to be the guy going forward.
I think he has an infectious personality, has confidence, and he made saves when they needed to be saved. Adinerin had a really great look. Sam was able to break free and just have an inch, and that's sort of what's made him one of the best players in the division. And great right-handed save by Saldana. You know, keeps that game in Sacramento, keeps them out from it, and, you know, evening it up at that point in time. And so I think he just came up with big saves and made stops that you needed to have your goalkeeper make this year. And I think that inconsistently has really plagued Rafa and Tomas this year. And unfortunately, we've seen them have really good games, and unfortunately that next week, just really bad errors that you just didn't expect from those two because of the quality they bring. So you know, Carlos has been given an opportunity and he made the best of it. And I don't see how you take him out until you're forced to. And I think that he's come up big. I think the back line played well. I think all 11 played really well too. And that's always hard with goalkeepers, get peppered sometime a little bit, but you still need your guys to come up with, make a couple stops the game. And I think he did that. And yeah, the one goal he gave up, you know, really unfair in terms of, you know, making a mark against your sheet there.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I love it. You know, it's exciting. Talk to him after and said congratulations. And first thing he said, team effort, can't wait for next week. I mean, he like didn't want, he doesn't like the limelight, even though he's very outgoing. He's not the type of guy who's going to say he won the game, this or that. So
right.
I think you got to love that attitude from your goalkeeper.
First professional start for him and was a pro. I mean, he acted like it was nothing. And I love that. And his confidence and the guy's confidence right now, I think, is at a very high point up to where they've been throughout the season, which is important. Lastly, you said you think 41 points is what Sacramento needs to get in, right? Is that your guess?
I would say so. 41, 40. I think you get 42. I think you've got it.
Yeah. 41, maybe some help. 42. I think you're right. Based on the math and based on who everybody has to play. If you can pick up a win against Phoenix or San Diego, and maybe a few draws, I think you're in really good shape. But like you said, you got to take care of Oakland. You got to take care of Tacoma again. And you got to take care of LA Galaxy. Those are the biggest ones on the map.
Well, because, yeah, let's say you don't beat LA, Oakland, or Tacoma, and you beat San Diego twice and Phoenix, well, the problem is that now those other teams also get 3 points. So your wins no longer mean anything, essentially.
Right.
And that's where you get in trouble. So when you beat a team that's also in your same position, it's massive.
Yep. And that's the big key. All right. Well, you'll be on the call tomorrow night.
I will not be, actually. So
it's not on I-58?
Just on ESPN Plus.
So, oh my gosh.
I will be there Saturday. Well, yeah, I think it's Goldie and I. So
I guess I'll have to keep my mouth shut about how I'm gonna feel about the ESPN Plus broadcast.
You can mute whatever you want to do. But hey, I will say the Oakland guys do a pretty good job. So
no, they do. They do. They're actually one of my favorites in the division.
Yeah, they prep and they do well. So, you know, but it's a big one. I mean, you've got players, Linda Mofeka is playing, you know, fairly well for them. They picked up Brandon Allen, who was a really big star at Red Bulls too a couple of years ago. Emma Clementa's over there. Chris Balnab, former assistant of Sacramento. You know, Jordan Farrell's a former academy coach of Sacramento. It's a lot of ties. And I just think you've got to pick up this win, basically because I think we squandered away too many opportunities to beat them earlier in the year when they were really down. And now they're starting to play a little better. But you go in their house, get that win, and let's go.
I saw their dollar beers tomorrow too, by the way. So people are going to be might be a little extra rowdy in Oakland
on a Wednesday.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah,
it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. And bummed we won't get to hear you on the call, but we'll hear you on Saturday against
San Diego.
Yep. All right. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. And congrats again on the addition to the family.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Our thanks to Rob McAllister for jumping on the podcast. He will not be on the call tonight, but he'll be back on the call Saturday when the club takes on San Diego Loyal. Tonight, big match for the Republic in a midweek gauntlet against the Oakland Roots, 7:30 p.m. kickoff on ESPN+. Don't want to miss it. And then, of course, coming up Saturday, another match on the road against San Diego. Next week, two home matches, October 13th and October 17th. That 13th match, obviously a big one with LA Galaxy. And should be a fun one. Noche Latina, our second of the year. So should be a lot of fun. You can grab your match tickets at sacrepublicfc.com/single-match-tickets. Another podcast coming later this week. We'll talk about tonight's match. And we have a UC Davis health doctor to talk about breast health awareness. That's coming up later on. Big one tonight. Republic need to get 3 points. So as always,
go Republic!